Welcome.
We are
Voice You.
Find your voice, celebrate, and explore what it means to be heard. We're your hosts, Kate Faust
and Jesse Drifter Shapeshifter Nelson.
And we're here to hold conversations with folks from all backgrounds about their journey with authenticity and vulnerability on the quest for empowerment.
Oh, and they're going to be serenading us too. Tune in for laughter, beautiful truth, and heartfelt listening each week.
And boy, did we get serenaded this week.
Oh my God.
Y'all, listen.
Y'all.
You might have thought because you saw the episode description that we have this incredibly talented photographer. You were like, I don't know how her singing performance is going to go. Listen,
girl,
she blew our fucking
girl
socks off.
So, fun fact, not everyone that is actually a singer pursues singing necessarily.
Yes.
That's a fun fact
I would
learned.
Say probably 90% of people, like, conservatively.
And in case any of you all didn't know that, we have living proof in the studio.
She had great training, and I know she hasn't done it in a while, but you gotta fucking, you have to hear her story, her conversation. I'm sure if you've seen her work, if you've got one of the most recent New York Times magazines, the picture, the iconic picture of Nancy Pelosi in that orange power suit, our girl Nolwenn Cifuentes took that photo. And that's who we're going to talk to today. She's got, please go follow her right now. It's Nolwenn Cif, C-I-F.
At N-O-L-W-E-N-C-I-F.
On Instagram, and check out her work. It's incredible, incredibly beautiful. So today we're going to talk to her about that.
Yes.
We're going to learn about her process of waking up and getting into the wokening.
The wokening.
The wokening.
Welcome to the wokening.
All aboard.
Choo-choo.
Welcome to the wokening. I don't have anything to say.
Oh my God, I forgot. Where's my ticket?
Where's
oh
my
ticket?
God, that was, like,
I
do you guys have bottled water? Like, is it gluten free? Is your bottle, like, how many calories is this bottled water? Stay woke. Hashtag woke.
Stay woke.
So we're gonna explore all the aspects of that, and
and
then we're gonna get our minds blown by Nolwenn's incredible singing from a show you might remember.
You might have heard of it.
So, other than that, I mean, how's your week been, babes?
It's been juicy.
Mm-hmm.
It's been full.
Mm-hmm.
It has been a tidal wave of wonder.
A tidal wave of wonder.
You know, and all
and
all of the glory and tumultuousness of that. You know, I just have to. How do I put this? I'm moist.
Moist. Very moist, and a lot of preparation for what's to come. A lot of seeds being planted right now.
Lots of seeds.
And so, yeah, I hope that you guys, again, we're winding down the year. I hope that you find this conversation that we're having with you each time we have this podcast and with each of our guests. I hope it's opening up some more possibilities for you. Some more ways for you to be more present in the world with your vibration.
Yes.
And some more ways for you to be present with other people. In whatever it is that you do, whatever space you take up, whatever vibration you're giving out into the world, do it with intention, do it with boldness and magnificence, and do it with moisture.
Yes. Lots of moisture.
Never dry.
Never dry.
Not nary a dry
There's
day.
There's no need for that.
No. Without further ado, let's get to it.
Here we go.
Born and raised in the desert of California to multiracial immigrant parents, Nolwenn now lives and works in Los Angeles. She's a portrait and editorial photographer best known for capturing a mix of raw and dreamy portraiture. Her interests lie in shifting social consciousness, breaking down gender norms, and intersectional representation. Nolwenn photographs musicians, actors, activists, business people, politicians, socially conscious brands, and any humans she finds interesting.
Nolwenn's work has been featured in publications such as The New York Times, Teen Vogue, Vanity Fair, The Wall Street Journal, The Fader, ID Magazine, Bloomberg Businessweek, and more.
Damn.
I know.
She sounds amazing.
She's like really cool. Thanks for being here. Oh, Nolan. I can't believe, I feel like it's been, wow, it's been some time. But it's really cool. So the story of meeting Nolan actually is really fun because it's so interesting the way that people just kind of like come and flow and like sail through our lives. And you just never really know who stays and who sticks. And so I feel like the way I met Nolan was literally through like a friend of a friend of a friend sort of thing. And yeah, we met at a photography exhibit for a mutual friend of ours. The very talented Grant Yoshino. And yeah, we never met before, but yeah, we just really clicked and stayed in touch. And here's Nolan now.
Well, I think I know what time it is.
Oh.
Let me check my watch.
It's time for the
interview.
It's time to get to know you.
MBT.
He said, well, that was epic.
The interview song. One yeah, for the wow. ages.
Honestly, I can't say the word interview anymore without being like,
I think that's how it'll be for me at the end of this.
Today I was like, oh yeah, we have this amazing photographer coming over for an interview. Rude.
Interview. So Nolan,
yes,
thank
Jesse.
You so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. God,
totally.
This is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, really been looking forward to this for a while. So today is the day. So I wanted to ask you, get this thing going.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a background as a classically trained singer. So I'm just really curious what it's like when we're talking about the voice. What was it like for you developing your voice in that way? And at what point did that kind of transition into photography? Were you always drawn to photographs and visual art? Or was there kind of this set time where you were sort of really let music go and delved more into photography? And I just want to know what it was, how your voice feels like it's maybe changed or shifted as you've come to express through different mediums.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I was singing opera, mainly opera and some Broadway. I want to say I was maybe by like 12 years old to like 16. And I think at that time I was interested in like performing. Like I wanted to be an actress and I wanted to be, well, I wasn't very good at dancing, but I wanted to.
Didn't stop you from wanting to be a dancer.
But I tried, yeah. I took some hip-hop dancing lessons. And I was in a lot of theater. I was in a lot of, like, community theater, and I really thought I was going to be this performer, like a famous actress or Broadway performer. And I don't really know. I was really focused in that. I wasn't really doing any type of visual arts at that time. I can't really remember what shifted, but at some point I thought, well, I think I want to get into filmmaking and like I could like star in my own film and like direct a film, like write my own film. And I did. I think I was 16 or 17, and I made this like really funny, it's actually still pretty funny, improv short film about actors. And I was in this improv class at the time, and I just hired everyone that was in the class. Or not hired, I didn't pay them any money. But they were all in my movies. They were all in this movie, and it was, like, really funny. It was kind of, I was really inspired by, what's his name, who does, like, Best in Show.
Oh, and Christopher Guest.
Yeah, Christopher Guest. So let's see, he has a movie, man, I'm blanking on, like, community theater people.
Oh, yeah.
Waiting for Guffman.
Waiting for Guffman.
You know what
yes.
I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna bite my pillow. That's what I'm gonna do.
Yes.
Oh my God, I love how they're it's all so wearing good. Windbreakers.
Oh yeah.
You know,
I
like when I think
that.
Of Waiting for Guffman, I want to wear like what I call crunchy fugglies, which are like okay. dad sneakers, which are now becoming cool again. Can we talk about the rise of crunchy? We'll do it another time. I just really need to. It's very perplexing to me. Yeah. No. So did you guys all wear tracksuits in this film or?
No. Okay. It was more just like it was a mockumentary about actors.
I
so
love
just in
it.
That vein. But it was like about film actors, so like going to auditions and stuff, because I was kind of doing that at this time too. So yeah, I was kind of like into filmmaking, but I ended up going to college to UCLA for graphic design because I thought, I don't know, I just thought that was more of like a career move or something. But I don't really remember what transition. There was a point where I was just wanted to do a billion things, where I was like really into illustrating and painting and acting and singing and graphics, all kinds of stuff, coding. I was like really into website coding. So I thought, well, the most like practical thing would be to do graphic design out of all this. And I kind of got into photography. I wasn't really into shooting photography at all until like not that long ago. I kind of got into it to get out of graphic design because I was like, I don't like this anymore.
Over it.
Yeah. And at first I just got into it to make some money. I was like, well, I had bought a camera thinking I was going to maybe make movies with it or something. This is like right after college. And I was working in graphics and hated my life. And I was like, well, I had this camera. I could just like shoot some weddings or something like that and make some money off of this and maybe quit this job. And that's like pretty much what I did. And then I was like, well, I hate weddings, so oh, now what?
I also have done wedding gigs as a singer,
really?
And I also hate them, too.
Oh, really? Wow.
I mean, I do want to get married someday, but I just hate being at people's weddings who can afford a 20-piece wedding.
I definitely want to have an epic wedding. Like, I don't really believe in marriage, but weddings, like, my wedding
will be
epic.
I believe in weddings. I don't believe in marriage, but weddings I fuck with.
Weddings, yes.
I also fuck with, I mean, I believe in all the things, but I also fuck with that, right? Because who doesn't want to throw like a big party with
exactly.
all your family
with
and
everyone
friends?
That, yeah.
But,
exactly.
But I want to explore this because I love, again, it's funny. We all drew cards before we started. Nolwenn got the.
These are Isis Oracle cards, by the way.
Isis Oracle cards.
Yeah, we talked about them on our IG. We'll nerd out a little more about them. But so she got the description of her card was that, you know, that she came, that she's a starseed and she comes to help humanity move out of the vibration of fear and into the vibration of love. And if you've seen her work, you definitely can attest to that. But what I also think is really interesting then, because for me, I know a lot of visual artists, and as somebody who is more out in front and is like a musician, I sometimes think of the world of visual art and the world of sound as these two stratified, you know, ways of expressing and experiencing the world. And a lot of the like filmmakers and photographers that I know, they hate being in front of the camera. They hate the idea of like they don't like they would never do something like what I do or what you have done. But what I love about the theme of what you're saying is that it just sounds like you just had a real deep desire to express something within you, like that voice was always present and it didn't. You just seemed like you were open.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, all right, this isn't it. Let's try this. This isn't it. Let's try. I love that. Oh, I like as somebody who my card that I drew was related to my own issue of. I'm very controlling about things. I'm very meticulous about things. And I have a hard time just, if I do one thing, I become obsessive and I can't really see anything else. Even doing this podcast or doing all the things, you know, I love that you're just so open and available.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like, I would venture to say, so how long have you been doing this photography work then?
I say it's been about 3.5 years that like I quit doing a bunch of other things and just focused on photography. I've been shooting for longer than that, but really Focusing on it and making it my full-time job, it's been about 3.5 years.
And a very fruitful 3.5 years.
Yeah, it's been very fruitful.
And all the time before that. But I love that you were just like, on a whim, you're like, well, I don't fucking like what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Let me just go with that intuitive voice that's like, well, I got these. Look, what do I have available to me? I have this. And then, you know, letting that vision kind of form.
Yeah.
I think that's so great. And I hope our listeners know, like, if there's something that you're working with or something you're working towards, or you feel like you're banging your head against a wall with one path, maybe there's another better path. Like, would you say you're saying it? You didn't know when you stepped into it was going to be like this.
I didn't. I do want to say it was like a huge, at one point it got so frustrating. It was really, I was really depressed about it, that I couldn't find like this one thing. And I think I was like, you know, in my mid-20s and still like, I don't really know what I want to do yet.
Ooh, so you went through the feeling of, yeah, like, if I don't have this one thing, then what's my worth?
Right. Because I really didn't want to be like a jack of all trades kind of person. Like, I wanted to focus on one thing, but I just liked so many different things. And when I finally realized, like, oh, okay, I'm going to stick with photography. This is something I can see myself doing for long or forever. I felt so good. It was like a huge weight lifted off my shoulders. And I think at this point, I still see myself, like, many years from now writing, like, a film or, like, performing again. But like, somehow within, like, my photography would, like, build that somehow.
Definitely. I mean, you build, like, in your images, I mean, obviously there's different treatments for different stories you're trying to tell, but I really feel like I'm in a world of that. I wanted to kind of, do you think that your years of being this jack of all trades, do you think that that has informed like what you bring to your photography?
I'm sure it has. You know, for a long time I kind of regretted it, especially when I see, I'm 31, which is still young, but I see like some photographers like 24 years old, you know, just really knowing what they want to do. And for a long time I kind of regretted that I tried so many paths, but now I feel like, well, I probably had to do all of those things to be doing what I'm doing now, to shoot the way I shoot now and to tell the stories that I'm interested in now. So, yeah, I'm sure it has informed what I'm doing now, trying all those things.
And I feel like when I look at your photographs, I feel that knowing. I feel the voice of someone who's been through some things, who has gone on this journey that wasn't always easy, has treaded this path that was not always super clear and super easy to see, and has come out with wisdom and a knowing and an awareness on the other side. And I think that really comes through in your photographs.
Well, and, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
And I want to know, what are the stories that you're interested in right now? What are the stories that are really like making you feel, as we say, moist?
Oh, moist.
Juicy and moist.
That's a controversial
on
word.
It's our favorite fucking word. In fact, moist. Last night we were scheming because we're being asked to perform at a Christmas concert. And they're asking us to do Baby It's Cold Outside. And we were like, well, that has some connotations. So we're thinking maybe we could do Baby It's Wet Inside and make a sex positive version of it.
I like that.
Wet Inside or Moist Inside. Baby, it's moist down there.
Because that song is also really fucked up.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I love the song, like the tune.
The
and
tune
I love,
is beautiful.
I love the duet. Like, yeah. You know, but what did we come up with?
Baby, it's moist down there. It's great if there is some hair.
Yeah! Yes, I love it.
Is it okay?
Very consent-driven.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But anyway, I'd love, what are some stories that you are wanting to explore that have been really making you moist in
making
your soul?
Me moist. Well, I mean, yeah, I was talking about this with a friend the other day about like, what's my brand? Like, who am I? What's my story? And she said, you're like a woke brand. I'm like, okay, I like that. Because, yeah, I feel like a lot of stories that I'm interested in. Let's see. I mean, I'm really interested in right now, like telling stories about queer people and people who don't stay like within what you're supposed to think of a gender, you know? a lot of that has to do because I'm like exploring my own queerness, like just pretty recently. So I feel like I'm kind of projecting that into my work. But I'm also just interested in, I'm just interested in stories that you don't hear too much of in the media. I'm interested in, I don't know, like progressive type of stories. I don't know. It's like I'm interested in a lot of stuff.
I want to unpack that word woke.
Okay.
Because I feel like it gets used all the time. Yeah, really glad. And I would agree. Like what you're doing is like, if you think of someone who's waking up, is shining a light on them, like so that they wake up and see something that they didn't see before, or they're able to see an aspect of reality that might purposely be kind of covered in the shadows. Mm-hmm. But like, what does the word woke mean to you? And this is a question for you, Jess. Like, I want to know because people use it all the time. I know what it means. Like, I get it. But then some people use it, and I'm like, oh, are you sure you're woke? Are you sure you're woke though? How woke is woke? And does woke only mean politics? Because I feel like you know, there's lots of levels of wokeness.
Totally. Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that's sort of complicated about it, and I think we're alive and coming of age at such a specific time where we are examining all of these things when we talk about society, culture, race, gender, class, identity. We're looking at these things from, you know, a perspective of being Americans or like a perspective of being humans on Earth. I think there's so many levels to that whole thing. And I think that's that sort of funny thing that we're sussing out right now, that like, oh, the levels of woke, and okay, you might be woke politically, but are you woke socially? Or right. You might be woke when we're talking about, you know, gender dynamics, but can you carry that same sort of conversation into racial dynamics?
Uh-huh, and, that's so true.
You know, and it's, and I also think it's really funny too, because it almost becomes a contest. It can become a little bit of a contest. It's like, it's more woke.
Me! No, it's me!
I was gonna say, I definitely agree with, like, I think that woke is like, I think we're in a generation right now where we're questioning everything. We're like, nothing is just kind of how it's been for the longest time, and we're, I guess, awakening to a new way of being, and just
the
and
awakening.
Just, the awakening. We are in the awakening.
We are in the awakening. You have entered.
But I love that. I love that. Like, I feel like a lot of advertising is, you know, and maybe it's some kind of a selling thing, but they're being more woke and sort of using a lot of talent or people that look different than what we've seen, or queer people or different bodies, different races. And I think that's awesome. I love that. And I want to be a part of that.
Yeah. It's funny. We interviewed she's a shamanic coach, but she also worked in UX, user experience. And there's this... they're getting into this idea now, not just in advertising, like you're saying, like featuring different kinds of human beings, different spectrums of beauty and possibility, and expression of gender, size, whatever. But also like the way that we experience a space or a product or a process. Like, because she said something about user design is that, like, the reason that now there's this term, it's like human-centered design, it's like human design, is because all the design and the way our world has been constructed really hasn't been for the full humanity of a human.
Right.
And then when you stratify that out along all these other intersections, which we're speaking of, that stratification gets bigger. So many things are not designed for human beings, humans who don't operate like machines. We're not mechanized, our consciousness. And then, you know, from there, human beings that look this way or express this or have this experience. And like the idea that human beings have, we have spiritual, social needs, like that need to be answered within the society, not just the mechanization of, you know, we could say the C word.
Consumption.
We can call it that. Yeah. I don't like to use that word. Capitalism. Because I just don't want to give it more power. So I don't speak on it like that, in that way. But yeah, no, that I think it's a beautiful time. And I think it gives the voice, which you're exploring in your work, a way to amplify that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right about the woke Olympics.
Yeah, that's so true.
I mean, and I think it's the sort of thing, a lot of the time something can gain traction and I don't think people are always really good at going back to the root. So when we talk about woke, the specific word, I think I remember that first sort of happening about a decade ago. Singer Georgia Ann Muldrow, hip-hop R&B, very progressive and experimental sort of singer-songwriter musician, was singing on an Erykah Badu track on her New America Part 1. And then I stay woke, was just kind of like this repetitive sort of thing. And I think they were definitely ahead of their time, like really starting that conversation. And I think specifically that was talking about Black folks stepping out of these stereotypes and identities of, mm-hmm. you know, everything that's placed on us, everything that's placed on Black folks is like the criminals and the gangbangers and drug dealers and people got to do what they got to do. I'm not even trying to go all there. That's a whole other conversation. But the point is, it was about waking up to the possibility of being more than this identity that people try and place on you. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you're talking about, of waking up to these possibilities of being able to be a complex being,
yeah.
which we've talked about before, mm-hmm. And waking up to the possibility that you can define yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that, you know, I think too, coming at this as what my metrics are, which is like a white woman from the middle of Pennsylvania, when marginalized people who have identities which are marginalized, when they reframe themselves, everybody else has to shift around that.
Right.
So when images are seen and folks who have been told they only have a certain possibility realize they have a different possibility, that ripples out to everybody. Mm-hmm. People that look like them and people that don't look like them. So it is that, it's the idea of when you move out of the place you're supposed to be in,
yeah.
you're not just moving yourself and you're not just moving your community. Everybody else is going to have to shift with that. Mm-hmm. And we're experiencing in some ways, the beautiful forward momentum and the resistance to that,
yeah.
right now. Mm. So it's a beautiful time to be creating in the wokening,
yeah.
space.
I think so. Uh-huh.
The womb of the wokening. And I think that leads us into our next question then, when you're talking about your brand, because, you know, on Voice You, we're all about the voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know what it means to you as a visual artist to have a voice,
mm-hmm.
and if there were any like visual artists in particular that, because I'm sure you know when you see an image there's a voice coming through,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know, is it the job of the visual artist to imbue their voice or to imbue the voice of the subject
That's
even more,
yeah.
that's something like as a singer I don't really think of, so I'd love for you to speak on that.
I mean, I've kind of been struggling with that, like how much should be my voice and how much should be the subject's voice. And especially like reading, for example, I just had something where I was gonna photograph, I had this idea all year long. I went last year to Compton on assignment for this magazine, and they just wanted me to shoot like street stuff of people in Compton who are primarily all Black people. But I thought everyone had such great style. Like, I love the style there. And so I had this idea all year long to go to the Compton Christmas parade that just happened yesterday and take portraits of people there. But as this year's been going, I don't know, I just felt like strange about it because I'm not Black. And I just felt like, oh, is this my story to tell? Should I like refer this to like a Black photographer who might, you know, or am I somehow, I don't know, because I don't know the story of people in Compton. I don't know. I was grappling with it so long that I ended up just not shooting it. I don't know if that was a good choice or not. And lately I've just been thinking, like, do I need to be telling stories more about people like me? Like, I'm mixed or I'm queer or, you know, I don't know. But then it kind of limits your storytelling. It's really hard for me to, I'm still kind of figuring that out. Like, how much should be my voice? How much should be a subject's voice, or how much I'm projecting myself onto someone else.
I love that you use the word grappling.
Okay.
I know, because I use that often, mm-hmm. and I think like everyone needs to do that.
Yeah.
To all of our listeners, like, you should constantly be grappling with this, what you're speaking of. You know, what am I trying to express, and who am I mm-hmm. in that? Because you are that, you're more than that, you're beyond that, but you are that,
mm-hmm.
and that means something. and you're taking into consideration your work and what you're doing. Yeah, I love that. I feel like I'm often grappling with things. And I think people think that that's like not enough somehow. But I actually really think that that's a very noble thing to do, is to grapple and to like continually ask yourself the question. The more you learn, the more you go, the more you observe, the more you take in, the more you can kind of then walk into experiences that have even more richness because you've grappled with it.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if you want to speak on that, baby.
Always grappling, like forever grappling. Sag, Sun, Gemini, Moon, Capricorn, Rising. Like my life is to grapple. And again, and yeah, and having a complex identity as well, also being mixed race, queer, first gen. I mean, there's so much. We're not always, and this kind of goes back to wokeness. I don't think we were necessarily born into a world in a time where we got to fully see and celebrate all the complexities of who we are. No. We were kind of, it's like, you are this, you are this. And it was like, okay, all right. And like, just kind of going with that. So yeah, I feel like grappling has been a huge theme of the last few years in terms of knowing like, what is my story and what are all the parts that create my story? And what is the story that I want to tell and that I'm trying to tell and that I'm trying to claim? And just like, what is that whole experience?
And so, also that feels like, okay to tell, like as a photographer it's like I'm not just doing a bunch of self-portraits, like everyone I'm shooting is not me, but how much am I allowed to tell someone else's story, you know? How much can I empathize with them? I've been having a hard time with that, and it was interesting because I told one of my good friends that I don't know if I should shoot this story. And she said, well, I bet you a white man wouldn't think twice about it.
Yes, like, I wanted to interject here because it's not just folks who have complex identities that should be grappling. In fact, I believe it's people who look like me who need to do the most fucking grappling, actually. Yeah. And also to tear down the idea that our identity in whiteness doesn't have complexity. It has a different kind of complexity, but it's very fucking complex. And it deserves, like, the least we can do is grapple, because you're very right. I believe that a white male photographer or a white woman photographer, let's be very clear, would definitely do that. Mm-hmm. No hands. I was just at an event where they did that exact thing. would not have an issue with that, or would probably still shoot it. And I'm not saying that's bad either.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
It's not bad. No. Like it's not. But the fact that you were having that inner conversation with, where's my voice and where does it intersect with the voice that I need to honor and have reverence for in this piece? Mm-hmm. I think like part of the wokening is looking at your identity, looking at your, and like knowing that like part of who you are is a part of yourself that you don't always have ownership of, like, and yet you're very affected by it and other people are affected by your identity.
Mm-hmm. I hear that.
Yeah. I also want to say on the topic of like woke, I feel like I've been awokening recently myself, because
celebrate.
Because I remember when I was younger, I like really wanted. So I'm half white and half Colombian, half French, half Colombian, and I really wanted to like whiteify myself when I was young. Like I dyed my hair blonde to feel whiter, and I also really wanted to, I'm pansexual, I've been identifying as bisexual, but really I'm more pansexual. But when I was younger, I was like I kept that really hidden. I had a girlfriend when I was really young, but then, I don't know, I felt weird about it later and just kept that hidden until like pretty recently. I've been, also through photography, actually, I did a photo series on like a lot of people who are mixed races, and that helped me just kind of explore my own race too. Or doing photo series on queer people kind of helped me be like, oh, okay, well, you know, just explore more of who I am too. But I think all of that exploration has to do with just like the wokening of what's happening in the world. I don't know if it's the whole world or just the United States, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I love that. I love that, how you're able to utilize your passion mm-hmm. and your, you know, your chosen path and craft to really synthesize yourself mm-hmm. in your personal journey. I think that's really beautiful. And if anything, that's like the best that we could ask for
yeah.
as artists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you feel good about going to our third question?
Sure.
Okay. Third question.
And I actually think that this goes really well with what you've been talking about mm-hmm. with the wokening, because I'm wondering if the wokening, that's what we're going to call this episode, by the way.
Yeah, the wokening.
I'm wondering, too, again, with you being out in front and then you being behind the camera, you grappling with your identity and mm-hmm. then having reverence for the identities of the subjects you photograph, having reverence for, okay, where is it my voice? Where is it their voice? And so you can take this question in the frame of your art or however you want to, if it just means showing up in day-to-day conversation. But we want to know, like, what does it mean for you to be heard? And what does it mean for you to really listen and be available? Mm. Whether it's, again, for your subject or just someone that you know.
Man, that's a hard question. I've grappled with being heard. Like I feel like I for a long time felt really shy, or felt like if I was to talk to someone, I had to talk really fast and kind of get out what I needed to say quickly, because they might just interrupt me and I wouldn't be heard. And yeah, I don't know. I wonder if it, a way like photography, I think, to me has felt like a way to be heard, because it's sort of a quiet moment. I mean, most of my work when I'm shooting with someone, it's just a quiet moment. I get to be with like me and one or two other people, and it's very intimate, and I can say what I want. I can listen to the person. We have like this kind of moment in time when we're making something that, you know, hopefully all of us are sort of collaborating with. And then the image is out, and the image is just, it stays there, you know, it's just, that's the image. So I feel like maybe that's kind of why I got drawn into photography, is because I feel like with my voice, like speaking to people, I have a hard time with. Or sometimes I'll say something, and then the next day I'm like, I didn't mean to say that at all. I actually meant to say this whole different thing. And I feel like in an image, I can just think about it more. I can only put out, you know, what I want to be seen. I really like when I'm shooting someone, when it can be like this intimate moment where, and usually when I photograph someone, I'm not really asking so much about like, where are you from? What's your life about? It's more like we're just really in this moment and mm-hmm. trying to like both create something interesting and powerful right there. So yeah, I don't know if that answers the question.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah.
Being able to show up like you're saying, I guess you have to use a lot of intuition.
Mm-hmm.
I keep using the word reverence, because that's what I have been learning, is how to have but I imagine, especially with a subject, again, you're not having this long, you're not using your words or your voice,
right?
But you're tuning into them
mm-hmm.
and you're feeling them and you're feeling the space. And you maybe have an idea of what you want to say, but you also want to make room for what can be clear. I mean, you're probably looking at things that I don't even consider, like how the light interacts with the shadows mm-hmm. on their face. Like all those things are such a beautiful way to be present with another human being.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what I love about photography. I love photographing people, because it makes me feel like I'm being present with another person. I don't really like photographing landscapes or objects. I really like just being with one other person and kind of not even getting to know them, because again, mm-hmm. I'm not getting to know much about them. I'm just like really experiencing one moment with them, which I really like that.
Being present with another mm-hmm. person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can we just say? Can we just say? Hey,
present another person, yeah.
No, the person. Yeah. No one with the soprano at the end.
She can get a taste. She's getting
a little taste,
taste
of opera.
to come. And I just wanted to say, yeah, if there's, I mean, there's so many things to take away, but the importance of presence, the important, mm-hmm. that is it. Mm-hmm. That is what it is to be in conversation and to share your voice and to receive and celebrate the voices of others. It is the present moment. Mm-hmm. I love that we got there.
Yeah. I'm all about the present moment.
Mm. Well, listen, your presence is a present.
Oh, thank you.
It's a gift. Thank you, Nowen.
Oh, thanks.
We love you. And aww. we're gearing up to sing some Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
Can you like wrap on that a little bit for us? Can you tell us why?
Why and, Phantom of the Opera?
And can you tell us what you kind of divulged a little earlier?
So I was obsessed with Phantom of the Opera when I was like, I think 13 or something. I read the book. I've seen the play at the Pantages. I've also seen it in Vegas a few years later. I got the Andrew Lloyd Webber album and memorized the whole thing, sang it many, 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 many times. And my dream was to be Christine Daae.
Yes.
On Broadway, which didn't ever happen, but that's okay. In another life.
It's not too late.
Well, honestly, no. I mean, it's great that it worked out that way. Because look at you now.
Yeah, that's look true.
Look at you. Honestly, no diss to Christine Daae, but I will take Nowen Cifuentes anyway.
Wow, that's an honor.
Okay. But let's blend the two right now.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so I'll give you a little cue.
Okay. Past the point of no return, no going back now, our passion flee has now at last begun. Past all thought of right or wrong, one final question, how long should we to wait before we're won? When will the blood begin to race, the sleeping bud burst into bloom? When will the flames at last consume us? Past the point of no threshold, the bridge is crossed, so stand and watch it burn. We've passed the point of no
Nowen. Wow. You just fucking went there. And you know, you. I feel like this is so appropriate because we were talking about the wokening.
Right.
And we really are past the point of no return in
that's
that.
That's true. I thought it was relevant.
I just like as you were singing the lyrics and I was just seeing the passion on your face and I was playing with you, I was like, oh my God, we in the wokening, like we really are past the point of no return and we really are just gonna be grappling and moving through it. And I feel really grateful that you were here today to share a little bit about your journey and you're sharing through your work and the images and the stories you capture about how to step into that wokening with grace and grappling and discomfort and beauty. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
No, really, thank you. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And yeah.
Yeah,
so moist
awesome.
Right now.
Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Thank you.
And real quick, can you tell us where can our listeners follow you and find out about you?
You can follow. I have an Instagram. It's at Nowen Cif, NOLWENCIF. And then my website's just my name, NowenCifuentes.com.
Awesome. And we'll have links to that too. All right. Thank you, Nowen.
Thanks.
So that was our show for today.
Woo!
Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you loved it. Remember to like, subscribe, leave some stars, leave some comments, show us some love,
show
hit us up
love.
On the social media.
Let us know what's good.
Hit up the links that we got that we're serving you in the episode description with the Spotify playlist and everything like that. And
just stay tuned. Stay tuned for more.
Stay tuned for more. Stay nice and moist. Till next
so
time.
Moist.
So moist.
Love you.
Until next time.
Until next time.
It's time for the outro music.
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 Outro music. Outro music.